Thank you, Les. I've known Les for a few years, and it's nice to be reacquainted with him today. Good morning, all. And so I'm going to report for about 10 minutes on things happening with the mission and things happening around here lately, a sort of kaleidoscope of activity and things to think about and pray about. October 28th, this past October 28th, Saturday morning, at the McDonald's on Kramer Boulevard. Everybody remember that place? Seen it now and then, yes. I spent 2 hours with a young lady who first we met at one of our ski trips. She came along with one of our cross-country ski days back about 8 or 9 months prior to that, and didn't have much interaction with her, but tried to keep a bit of contact. But in October, she became very spiritually hungry. God touched her heart and spirit. And to make a long story short, after 2 hours of conversing together and talking and looking at scripture, she gave her heart to Christ that morning. And she's from a communist country, the other side of the world, very large communist country, you probably know what I mean. I remember her saying about a week or two after that, "My heart is so full," you know? Yeah. God had really touched her and given her new life in Christ. So we praise the Lord for that. And we have plugged her into a local church, and she's being discipled weekly by actually the senior pastor's wife, which is handy. But anyway, so we praise the Lord for that, and you know, I'll maybe tell you a little bit more about that as we go along, but that's one example of things happening. In December, near Christmas, we had a Christmas evening with over 40 students and volunteers getting together to discuss and to be reminded of the real meaning of Christmas. And so we were glad for that event. Now, with the winter semester, we're still in the winter semester. Since the beginning of this winter semester, I and my 7 active coaches, I have a few inactive ones right now, but 7 active coaches, we've been continuing to mentor and befriend our students, doing a multitude of things with them, not just teaching the Bible and having discussions of biblical themes, but we try to help them in different ways too, right? For example, I just think of some of the things that have happened in the last 3 or 4 weeks, giving advice about disputes with landlords. Here's another one, giving advice about buying cars. I even did a bit of driver training. Whew, I survived that, praise the Lord. Now, also, do you remember about 3 weeks ago, maybe some of you will remember, there was an apartment fire about exactly 2 kilometers that way on Centennial Road. One of the apartments caught fire and disturbed and messed up about 4 apartments actually in the area. One of our students was just adjacent to that very apartment and really was only 10 or 15 feet away from probably the source of the fire. Thankfully, they survived well and everything, but you know, these kinds of things, you want to listen to people's tales of woe and having to move to hotels and stuff like this. But we thank the Lord for his mercy to that situation. Sometimes students just want a listening ear, you know, to explain unusual things going on in their lives, like a house fire, or to listen to culture shock kind of issues. You know, why do people do stuff like that, you know? And what have I come into this Canada place, you know? There's 3 or 4 weeks where they're in a honeymoon stage and everything's new and interesting, and then after a while they start to say, oh man, what have I got myself into, you know? It was just this past Friday. Every Friday we meet for prayer as a team, and one of my coaches related this story. A couple of weeks ago, his student came in and just was, you know, feeling out of sorts or seemed out of sorts. And he asked his coach, well, can we maybe just not study the Bible today and just talk about stuff a bit? And his coach was understanding and gracious and listened and was a listening ear. And he talked for pretty much the hour, just explaining his current struggles and, you know, culture issues and being heard, basically, right? And, you know, you might think, oh, that's a waste of time. But it's not, really, because there's a basic principle in human interaction, and that is, first you should be heard and understood that you're heard. And then you can hear what the other person is saying, you know? And in fact, that was exactly the case. He was a good listener for that hour, and the next week they got back and they had 2 minutes of chit-chat and the student was ready to get into the Word. Let's study what the Bible is saying here, you know? Because he had been able to be heard. A few days ago, this is Friday, I believe, I was a listening ear to one of our students who had just broken up with their girlfriend. And they hadn't talked to anybody about it for like 4 days. They just moped about it, you know. And then I was there at the right time and place and was glad to listen. And he really appreciated it by the end of our time together. And so I was glad to be a part of that. A couple of weeks ago, another story, one of our newer students, an undergrad student, he's an exceptional and interesting guy, but he had somehow gotten into a little small group. He's a seeker, and he had gotten into a small group that was discussing things on campus about the Bible. He was in the Ad Hume pit, if you know where that is. That's a wide open atrium area that's in the Administration Humanities Building. And so students gather there for little chats and whatnot. And he was there discussing with maybe 6 or 7 other students. And nearby was some random student listening in on their discussions about the Bible, about God. And now, you know, you may have heard of this term woke ideology. If you haven't, you should look it up and be familiar. Woke ideology. Most of the, you know, in simple terms, I don't want to brand everybody the same way, but in simple terms, most of the sociology, English, psychology, education profs espouse this series of teachings that are very anti-God, anti-democratic, really. Although they wouldn't say that. quite destructive and designed to splinter the various aspects of our multicultural society, to pit people against each other all the time. And so he was well trained in this, as many of these students are, unfortunately. And he was so offended by what he called their white power discussion that he vigorously confronted this group. He marched down to the campus security office and registered an official complaint about, I don't know, hate speech or something or other. They were just talking about things in the Bible. And so then the participants of the group They decided to go down there to the security office and defend themselves somewhat, so they had to fill out forms and whatnot, reports about this kind of stuff. And this was very shocking to our student. He comes from a closed country, communist country, and he was shocked by this, and I was too. But then again, it wasn't so much. I think it may happen more in the future. I pray not. But this is something we can pray on. For example, that we would continue to have freedom of speech, freedom of religion on our campuses. Another item. We're grateful to recently get connected to our first Iranian undergrad student. A few years ago, we had a graduate student, Iranian. But this fellow, he taught himself English in the space of about 6 months. He's quite a brilliant fellow. He taught himself English through YouTube and a few tapes or whatnot and a couple of books, right? But he's here now. He's got enough grasp of English to be studying. He's sort of in a pre-med kind of program. A beautiful young guy. And he's at church right now because I made arrangements with one of the Christian students I knew. And if you know Christian students on campus, let me know, okay? Because we need to get more aware of them and to network with them. Because they're a big help. Because these two guys, the Iranian guy and a friend of his, have been coming fairly regularly to church. But this week, it was just too awkward for me to bring them. It's nice if I can pick them up or something. But this other Christian student guy, I got him going on the project, and he said, yeah, I'll invite them, and you know, we'll walk over there together. And so that's what has happened, and I'm thankful for that. You know, this guy, until recently, he basically considered himself an atheist, until maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 months ago. He's only been here, I think, since January. But then after, he said, maybe it's been a year or so. For a while, he considered himself an atheist. But then, as he began to study more of science, he realized the millions of miracles that there are in creation alone, right? You have to think that there's a designer, there's intelligence behind this. And so he's an agnostic, he's not sure right now, but he's seeking, and he's coming to church, and I'm meeting with him. So praise the Lord for that. You can pray for that guy. You can use the letter A. That's the first letter of his name, A. And I'll try to mention him further in my email updates. Last weekend, I took two groups of students cross-country skiing, one group all day Saturday and the next on just Sunday afternoon. But in this process, I got connected with our first Sikh student. Now, I used to always say Sikh, right? And I think many of us do. But apparently, the new way of pronouncing this is Sikh. So you're supposed to say Sikh student, something like that. But anyways, praise the Lord. This guy, I'll call him Gary, that's the English name he's taken. He and I met this past Wednesday, and I invited him. I said, Gary, why don't you give me a primer, give me an introduction to Sikh religion. You know, I'll sit and listen. And so he was very excited about that, and we sat down, and he gave me the basic history of the Sikh religion. So that's installment one. Let's pray and hope that so far we have plans to meet again. And maybe we'll go installment two, and then maybe I'll start saying, well, can I chip in a few things here? Because he knows I'm a Christian. I think he will expect me to propose some things. But once I've listened well to him, you know, first, I'm glad to do that. This past week, we also had a situation. seems like there have been three or four things happening in 1 week, but a lot of different things happening. One of our coaches noticed that his student, when they were sitting together, was carrying a book by Noah Harari with him. This man, Harari, if you don't know of him, you could look him up. It's sort of like Ferrari, but Harari. All right. He is currently quite an attractive and popular writer and spokesperson for a group called the World Economic Forum. He is promoting clever yet evil ideas and theories. Our coaching team member, a retired lawyer, that helps. Alan, you'll know him. We'll talk later. Anyways, so he got concerned. Why not? He should be. And he went home and wrote up a 5-page rebuttal of the main things problematic with Harari's teachings and books. Okay? And he completed them with footnotes and backup from other thinkers and writers. So God bless that coach, right? Yeah, and we're going to make sure that that's spread to some others as necessary. We may even do something further. Pray with us on that. There might be something we can do at a more public level. I'm not sure yet. But, anyways, so lots going on, and we just praise the Lord for opportunities to meet every day, every week with students and talk one-on-one with them about the claims of Jesus. More could be said, but I've got to move on to other things. I just should say, if you wish to get my email updates, just, fairly short, 200 words or so, about 10 times a year, then there is a clipboard at the back in the entrance area. And if you just put your name and email on there, then you can certainly be included that way, okay? Thank you. And thank you for your ongoing prayers and support. I know you folks are praying people and giving people, and so praise the Lord for that. You know, pound for pound, you're not a really big church, but pound for pound, you are a mighty source of prayer and financial support and encouragement for numerous mission efforts around the world. So good on you, folks. Yes, praise the Lord. And now I'm going to prayerfully bring a message from God's Word to us this morning. A title for my sermon today could be Lessons from the Master Potter. I love the little picture of the potter thing going on with at the bulletin, right? Who did that? That's a good idea. Stephanie. All right, Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie. Yes. You know, the Bible gives us a metaphor on a number of occasions about God being an artisan, a potter, and his children as being lumps of clay. The master potter takes and shapes us into good things as we allow him to. References to this picture in Scripture are found in Isaiah 29, 30, 45, 64, Jeremiah 18, and Romans 9, among other places. Listen, for example, to Isaiah 64, verse 8, which is also in your bulletin. Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand. Psalm Isaiah 64. Today I'd like to explore this biblical concept and encourage us through it. As I speak, I'm going to weave into my message 3 DVD clips that Thomas is going to help me with, in which a practicing potter who is a Christ follower provides some valuable insights. We are all formed by your hand. Isaiah 64. Now, also in the New Testament, this idea of God forming us is found in the book of Galatians, chapter 4. You might want to take a note of this. I'm sure you've heard this before. Paul is speaking to the church at Galatia, and he says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. Christ is formed in you. Paul is beseeching the believers, and he says, oh, I fervently hope that Christ will be formed in you increasingly. Paul is aching for the Galatians to continue to mature in their faith, right? It's not, oh, I've reached 75, that's it. I don't have to mature anymore, thank you. Or I've reached 45, thank you, I'm all good. Don't worry, Lord, I don't need any more instruction. Lord, spare us from that. Another way of saying this would be that we begin to look like Jesus in terms of our character, our beliefs, our behavior. God wants to make us into a piece of pottery that reflects the beauty of Christ, the holiness of Christ, and that fulfills the function for which He created us. We all have different functions, and He knows us better than we know ourselves. How is Christ formed in us? It is by our participation with God in allowing ourselves to be transformed. Let me repeat that. Our participation with God in allowing ourselves to be transformed. And of course, question would come, then how does this transformation take place? Scripture, Romans 12, primarily by the renewing of our minds, which we're all familiar with. Romans 12, 2. Taking on the mind of Christ, being conformed to the biblical ideals. And Philippians 2, verse 5, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. We take on the mind of Christ. In this case, it's talking about the humility of Christ, but that's just one aspect. We take on His mind. We have to let God take our minds, which have been formed in a particular way up till now, by all our past experiences, right, and our upbringing, and allow Him to remake us and mold us and pull here and pull there, yeah, so that we think the same patterns of thought and act in the same ways that Jesus did. This is a lifelong process. This is similar to a person who makes clay pots. A potter, we call them. They take a lump of clay and they reform it into a beautiful, useful creation, a piece of pottery. Let's listen and watch this Christian craftsman as he talks and illustrates. We've got three video clips this morning. A fellow named Brian Berry. Okay. There may be some buffering of things as we go along. It'll settle down, I hope. Yeah, hit the. Yeah, oh, I see. Yeah, it's quite buffering. It'll come. Oh. Yeah. Okay. There.
When we got this far, we've gotten this far in a pot.
It's good. It's good.
Shaping is the next.
Oh.
When we got this far, we've gotten this far in a pot. Shaping is the next part of the process. You've got to get as much height as you can out of the clay before you shape it. If you don't, you'd end up with these little short, squatty, fat pots. As the clay is up, when I shape it, it will draw it down. So you want to make sure you get as much height as you can. It reminds me of a story when you're shaping pots and using up the potential of the pots. And we were at a Potter's Guild show, and a friend of mine and I were sitting back listening to just things that were going on within the show, and we heard this every 2 minutes. People would come in, they'd go, "Oh, look at that pot. It says Fat Cat. Wouldn't you like to have that for our cat? Looks just like our cat." And another one would come, and another one, and I'm turning to my friend, and we don't hear anybody buying our pots, so nobody making any comments, but she's selling all these pots. One of the things I realized was she was making status quo pots. I call them status quo pots. Didn't really use the potential of the clay. She just made these little pots, take a minute or two to make, trim them up really fast, and you stamp a little cat on each side and say, "Fat Cat." And people will buy them by the hordes. But there's, to me, they're status quo pots. Not much potential. Potential not realized in all of the clay. Very heavy, and they're kind of thick and thuddy. And I realized that it's the same thing in our Christian walk. You need to utilize the potential of the clay, pull as much of it up as you can, and then you have opportunity to put some beautiful shapes in. And those shapes will go on to reflect the maker. I always think about form and function. If I want a pot to function well, I need a nice tall pot. If I want to make this into a pitcher, I need a nice tall pot that's narrow in the right places, full in other places, and that I can put a nice spout on and a handle and can do all those things. You need to take the potential of the clay to its full zenith. So many potters don't do that, and I've never figured it out. We need to be infinite potential in the hands of the Lord. I think if we are, it's amazing. When I start putting shape into this, you can just put a little bit of shape in, and everybody will go, "Oh, that looks lovely. That looks very nice." But if you're willing to push the clay a little further, I swear there's times I can hear it go, "Ah." And this, when you put this shape in, I can almost hear the life breathe into that pot. We need to relinquish full potential to the Lord. We need to be willing to go wherever He wants to send us. We need to be willing to be pulled as high as He wants to pull us, not be status quo. And I'm afraid Christianity at times has become status quo.
Romans 12. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Be not conformed, but be transformed. Yeah. So as we let ourselves, particularly our minds, be put on the potter's wheel, and then gradually be formed by the potter, God will bring out the full potential of our lives. One statement from Brian Berry that particularly struck me was, "Let's not settle for status quo." And that reminds me of Paul's statement in Philippians 3, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward, toward maturity and Christ-likeness." Amen? Yeah. In my own life, in the past 7 years at least, God has been stretching me and continuing to shape me in ways I would not have predicted 10 or 15 years ago. It's exciting to think how God can be doing this right up until the day we die, until He calls us heavenward, as the Apostle Paul would say. This is all for our good and His glory. Let's see what else our potter, Brian Perry, has to say. Brian Berry, sorry. It's called Shaping. Well, that's great. Playback video. Lord help us. Try hitting the play button again and see what happens. Mm-hmm.
kind of put some shape to this. Shape, we have to do a little slowly, a few slow passes. And I think about Christ and how he shapes us into his own image. And it has to come a little at a time. He can't ask too much at once, or the pot couldn't take it, and the pot would collapse. And thank the Lord that he knows the clay so well. Some he can ask more of, some he can ask of more of more quickly, but by and large, it just comes as we allow him to stretch us bit by bit, inch by inch. I think it's great to let God find his full potential in us and stretch us into a Christ likeness that will be a blessing to those that we encounter. And I think as we allow him to stretch and pull us into shape, into his own image, that will be that blessing and will be that light. I think that's the other thing. We've lost the understanding of Christ's call in our lives, that we are, and people have said, boy, you're pretty peculiar. Well, sometimes I'm a peculiar people. I think we are that. We're called to be separate. We're called to out of the world. And people that are in the world, I think, have a hard time sometimes understanding that. But I know that we're also called to suffer. And sometimes in this making process, there's parts that we suffer through. It's not always easy on the clay to stretch it and pull it. And yet it's needed in order to find that beauty in the pot. The great thing about pottery, if you talk to a potter that's a good potter, that knows what they're talking about, a great pot is made from the inside out. And if you get the inside of that pot right, the outside mirrors the inside through the trimming process. So when I want this pot to be just so, I observe the outside, but the last look always has to come on the inside. And I'm checking to make sure that form is exactly what I want. And when I get the form what I want on the inside, I don't worry too much about the outside, because extra clay will be trimmed away, and we will actually mirror completely the inside. So much as our walk in Christ, it's all about the inside. It's all about Christ inside, the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. Right? When Christ changes his inside, you can't help but burst forth in the light of Christ. Like, I don't know how people can't. I just want to blow up sometimes and shine the light of Christ. And I think that is what we're called to do in that dark place. But if you get a pot and you get the inside right, then the outside will reflect it.
In shaping the pot, the potter does not hurry things. Barry said, God knows he can't ask for too much at one time, or the pot couldn't take it and would collapse. But God is wise. He knows how and when. We have to let God stretch and pull us into the form of Christ. For each of us, this will take place on a different time schedule, according to how God has made us and his sovereign plan. Ultimately, it is a lifelong process. The best things in life, of course, are rarely achieved in a short time span. This reminds me of a story about James Garfield. Now, James Garfield, you may remember, was one of the presidents of the United States of America back in the 1800s. And before he got into politics, James was the president of a college in Ohio called Hiram College. It's still there today. One day, the father of one of the students enrolled at the college came to Mr. Garfield and asked him if a particular course of study couldn't be simplified so that his son could go through by a shorter route. Garfield replied, "Certainly, but it all depends on what you want to make of your boy. When God wants to make an oak tree, he takes 100 years. When God wants to make a squash, he requires only 2 summers." Yeah. Do you want to be a squash or an oak tree? Let's not look for shortcuts, but rather let God work over the entire span of our lives. Another key concept we can take from this second video is the idea that, quote, a great pot is made from the inside out. We need to constantly be cultivating our inner spiritual life, having a lifestyle of prayerfulness and meditation on Scripture, being in community with other Christians like we are this morning, and having a lifestyle of worship and thanksgiving. You know, a bunch of sermons could be preached on this topic, but for today, Colossians 3:16, which was up on the screen there, sums it up well when it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs," as we were this morning, "with gratitude in your hearts." What's in our heart this morning? With gratitude in our hearts to God. Let us cultivate our inner lives. And now one more video clip, reflecting the Maker. Thomas, you're doing a great job. Somebody, you know, my computer is an old, used thing. I guess it's maybe a little behind the times or needs a little extra RAM or something, but anyways, we'll try it out. Third clip. I always buy used computers. But if somebody wants to buy me a brand new one sometime, or next time I'm here, if I need the computer, bring your brand new one. All right, good. All right. Eleven, right? Yeah. Okay.
I've been a number. We've sold our pottery coast to coast over the years. We've done lots of things with pots. It's funny when you go to different shows and people don't know who you are, and you kind of mingle and you listen to what's going on and you listen to what's being said. And I can remember being at one show and I had no idea who this lady was, and she was from out of town, and I'm standing there kind of anonymous. They don't know it's me. And I hear this woman come around the corner. She says, "Well, that's a Briberry pot. I know that anywhere." So I was kind of taken back. I didn't really think about this. And the one lady asked her, "Well, how do you know whose pot that is?" She says, "Well, I can tell by the shape, and I can tell by how it's made. Look at how well it's finished. That's one of his pots." So the other lady picks up the pot, looks at the underneath, and sure enough, it's one of my pots. And it hit me just like a hammer. Should we not reflect our Maker? Yeah. Our Maker takes form and function, puts it in you. He's got the function, and he's waiting for the form. So your form comes along, whenever it comes along in our walk, and he takes that function, puts it into the form, and then he sets it out. And then we should reflect the Maker. We should be seen. Christ should be seen through us. Shouldn't be any question. We should be able to be in a room and somebody say, "Oh, that's a Christian guy. I know that's a Christian. Tell by the way he talks, by the way he walks, by what he says, by what he doesn't say." That's what we should be. And it really struck me like a hammer that day. And I thought, first thing I thought about was, am I reflecting my Maker? I hope that that is true. So we'll pull a little bit more clay up here. And then we'll call this one finished. So we leave a little bit of, we want a little bit of strength up here. When we put a spout on, we'll kind of play with this top a little bit. And it needs it for visual strength. It gives it just a look that it's going to be strong and stand up. So that's pottery in a nutshell. Starts in a firm foundation. You can't really move the foundation much, but we can pull lots of that clay up, potential of the clay, shaping it bit by bit. Christ never asks more from you than what you can do. He knows you inside out. I know the clay very well. I ask the clay for everything, but I only ask for it a bit at a time. Can't ask for it all at once. I just can't do it. And to me, that's a walk in Christ pottery.
Yes. There are three quotable quotes from this particular clip, I think, that I'd like to highlight. One, the first one, that's a Brian Berry pot. Someone came into a room where there was all sorts of pottery and people and going on. They could see 15 or 20 feet away. I know who made that. Isn't that something, eh? Secondly, should we not reflect our Maker, our Savior? That person. I bet you they're a Christian. How about that? Christ should be seen through us. If we allow ourselves to be molded and shaped by the Master Potter, we will increasingly reflect his nature, his character, and bring him glory. The verse we saw on the screen, as the video concluded, is a great verse for us, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We who reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed in his likeness with ever-increasing glory. What a victorious and satisfying way to live our lives. What a great way to prepare ourselves for heaven. What a great way to make an impact in this world for the building of God's kingdom. Let's allow ourselves to be transformed day by day, week by week, to reflect the wisdom and beauty and character of Jesus. So this morning we've been reminded that God desires to be our loving, creative Master Potter. He will continue to form and shape us as we press on to know him better, develop our inner spiritual lives, and serve him with how he has made us. Serve him. Pottery has many... Amen, sister. Pottery, she's backing me up. Pottery has many different uses, and God creates pottery, us, for different jobs. When we do these things, we will increasingly reflect the glory and reality of Christ to all around us. Psalm Isaiah 64. I keep wanting to say Psalm, but it's Isaiah 64. Verse 8, we are the clay and you are the potter. Father, we are all formed by your hand. Isn't this encouraging to know that God is committed to making you and I, his children, into beautiful and useful pieces of pottery? Yes. God's not done with me yet. God's not done with you yet, believer. You know, I think of three young men. I was just thinking last night of three of our men and two of our women students over the last 3 or 4 years who all profess faith in Christ. And with most of them, we've been able to, thankfully, help them in this process of growing in Christ and being formed into Christ and his likeness. What a privilege it has been. And it's not all a straight path. I mean, there have been trials and there will be trials and there will be difficulties and setbacks even. But I see the Lord at work in these people. And I think of their whole lives in front of them. And give thanks, you know. In one case, too, this brings up Rod Muir, because one of Rod's former students, I think she left here probably at least 3.5 years ago, went back to China. Her and I have been having Zoom Bible studies for at least the last 2 years, quite regularly. Here she is a believer. She doesn't have a church around her. Her husband is not a believer. But God has led her through deep waters. And I guess I can't get into this. This is online and stuff. But deep waters and problems at her work that were not of her making, such that she was reassigned to another job, which is much more strenuous and less rewarding to her. But yet she's hanging on, she's trusting God, she's growing in her faith, and it's a good thing to see, you know, over the long haul. And so praise the Lord for how he wants to form Jesus in us. Wives, God's not done with your husbands yet. And wives, God's not done with your husband yet. And teenagers, God's not done with your parents yet. And parents, God's not done with your teenagers yet. Thank you, O God, for continuing to work in us so that Christ will be formed in us. Amen? Amen. Galatians 4:19.